And welcome into Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, on YouTube, on Facebook, and on Twitter as well. Hope everybody's doing well. As always, I'm your host, Robbie Stanley, alongside Preds TV analyst, former Preds goaltender, Chris Mason. C-Mace, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Doing great. Just got back from Mike Fisher's clay shoot.
Oh, yeah? How'd you shoot him?
Had a blast. I don't know. Is 63 out of 100. I think that's what I got. It's okay, I guess.
That's over half, man.
Yeah. Pretty good percentage. I'll take it. No, it was fun, though. It's awesome.
That's good stuff. Also joined by Nashville Predators defenseman Dante Fabra. Dante, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Not a whole lot. I can't say I came from a clay shoot, but just hanging out at home, just spending some time with my sister.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, Dante, we appreciate you taking time to join us tonight here on the program. Obviously, a big win for you guys last night. How important was it to get back on the right track? Two wins in a row now for you guys, especially to grab one at home last night in front of the fans.
Yeah, I think it was a big emphasis last night. Obviously, we wanted to get back winning at home and kind of get this thing back on, like you said, the back on the right track. And we know we've been playing some good hockey, and, you know, just sometimes the results aren't there, but as you can see, I think when we play to our identity and we play in sync, and you know we're working hard and trying to make plays out there, and you know right now it's starting to pay off, and so guys are doing the right things and you know putting that extra work in to ensure you know putting our team in the best position possible to win every night.
Awesome, Fabs. I was going to ask you. I heard you had a big offseason. Good training session and good, you hired a trainer, all this kind of stuff. Just like tell the fans how hard this league is. Like you go back, you know, in the summer and your whole summer, everyone thinks, oh, it's an off season. You don't do anything for, you know, 4 or 5 months, but everything you do is geared for you to come ready for this season. And this season, you're one of the top guys in the National Hockey League analytically. I don't know if you follow analytics or players even care about that, but obviously with my job, we worry about all that stuff. So tell me what went into your off season and how, like, you came back and you're just guns a-blazing.
Yeah, I think I know with my injury last year, I knew, you know, I wanted to have a good off season and put my best foot forward. And I knew it wasn't going to be easy just with, you know, some of my injuries I had last year. So my first thing when going into the off season was to rehab all my stuff and make sure I'm back to 100%. And then from there was just work on aspects of my game where I thought, you know, I was slipping and that needed to improve to ensure that next step in myself. And so, yeah, it was tough. I trained quite a bit. I got hooked up with a new trainer based out of Arizona and helped me out quite a bit with, you know, just recovery and, you know, helped me with my sleep, nutrition and all those sort of things. And kind of stuck with my same routine with on ice stuff, but changed up a little bit. Was able to get a skating coach out in Vancouver, and we worked with each other once or twice a week for a good 6 weeks, and found that helped me out quite a bit. I just feel a lot more comfortable on the ice, and you know, I think I probably many people could see I feel a little more confident out there, and you know, just more assertive in my game and more decisive.
Well, Dante, it's always been kind of amazing to me because you did something with this organization that not very many people have been able to do. I mean, Shea Weber played in Milwaukee. Roman Josi played in Milwaukee. Ryan Suter played in Milwaukee. I mean, you went straight from college to the NHL. Just kind of talk about what that jump was like for you. And, you know, obviously, you came in and were successful right away and then a full-time top four defenseman the next season after you first came in. Just what was that jump like going from college hockey to being a full-time NHL player immediately?
It wasn't too bad. I mean, I think Boston University really prepares you for the next step and a lot of the guys' careers. And I just felt the biggest thing was management with my time, like away from the rink. I know it can be a little bit stressful with an 82-game season. And, you know, in college, you only play 36 a year. So just being able to manage that and, you know, get your rest and, you know, all those proper things that come behind the scenes that not a lot of people see was the biggest adjustment for me. But I mean, coming into the locker room, you got a lot of you know, older guys that have been through all those like grinds, and you know, they've really settled into, you know, how things work. And so for myself, I was able to kind of lean on, you know, Ham Hughes and Joey a lot, Yo, Seki, Ellie. So it was a pretty seamless transition, I found, but there's still things, obviously, I'm still learning now, but at the end of the day, it's a tough league, and you know, nothing comes easy out there, and you just got to make sure you take advantage of every opportunity you get. And so that's pretty much it.
Was it when you actually came to the NHL, obviously out of college, when you thought of like the guys in the NHL and your teammates and stuff, was it different? Cause I know when I was like, you know, I was coming out of junior, you're probably a little bit older. I thought like, oh my God, these guys are NHLers. Like, are they going to treat me the same and all this kind of stuff? But you guys have a great locker room, great guys on your team. Was it like, did you instantly feel comfortable, or were you super nervous going into that situation?
Yeah, I'd say I was a little bit nervous. I say that probably when I first got in there, the guys that made me feel probably the most comfortable was probably Hammer, Joey, Sis. Those were kind of, I mean, Joey and Sis are kind of given, they're from Vancouver, and those kind of things. Joey had me over for dinner a couple nights, and which was really good. I was nervous, but now looking back at it, I don't know why I was, just because now I get to know everyone, and everyone's a pretty big goof, and so it's been just a lot of fun to be around in the locker room and just kind of joke around and just kind of hang out.
Dante, did you get a pretty good sense early on of just kind of the business side of things? Like, the first time that I think I ever met you, it was right after you got drafted, and I did a story at development camp for NHL.com. And it was basically a piece on like how you grew up looking up to Shea Weber and how he was one of your favorite defensemen, favorite players growing up. And like, I put that story up on NHL.com, and literally like 4.5 hours later, Shea Weber got traded. And it was just kind of amazing, like how quickly all that stuff came together. Like, what's that transition like as a player going from, you know, you've grown up, you've played junior hockey, you're playing in college hockey, to the business side of things in the NHL? Like, how quick does it take to adjust to that part of things?
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely eye-opening to me. Playing in college, you can't get traded or anything like that. You're pretty secure where you're at. And then got one of my idols I looked up to my whole life. Finally got the text from him and saying congrats coming to Nashville. And I think I landed, and the trade had gone through. So it's part of the business. And, you know, guys understand that. And, you know, there's sometimes it doesn't work out in your favor, but you know, it is what it is, and you can't really do much about it. But I think the one thing you can't control is just how you play on the ice, and you know, how you can conduct yourself around your teammates.
Is it much different from college, coaching wise, as in terms of like the coach being hands on? I know when you get to the NHL, you're an adult, you're playing with guys that have kids and families and everything. Was it an adjustment, or like you said, you're pretty prepared in university coming into that kind of situation? Because I remember thinking it was kind of different. In junior, they're always hands-on. You have billets, you have curfews, you have this, you have that. You know, you don't have to pay, you know, you don't have to write checks, you don't have to pay your bills, all this kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, boom, you're in the NHL or pro hockey, and all that's on your plate now. No one to help you except for the boys, maybe your parents too.
Yeah, I mean, it is definitely different. I think you kind of hit it right on the head there. Like it's all hands on kind of in juniors and in college, like very, very vocal, a lot of film sessions, a lot of skills and whatnot. And I think when you get to the NHL, it's all kind of dependent on your off season to work on those things or show up to practice early, stay late. So, you know, it's more you ask and they'll help you out. Whereas I think in juniors and college, it's like kind of there, whatever they say you're going to do, and just skills wise and development wise. But it is different, but I've always loved doing film. I've always loved, you know, just going early to practice and kind of working on a few different things. What if it's shooting pucks or trying some crazy moves, whatever it is. But I think anything to get out there early to help my game, and obviously go on the ice and screw around with their teammates is a lot of fun too.
Friends defenseman Dante Fabra on with us here on Smashville Live. So Dante, obviously the last little bit here, you've been playing with Roman Josi. Like, how do you put into words what it's like playing with number 59 out there?
I mean, this guy just creates ice, open ice all over the sheet, and I just try to give him the puck at the right times for him to get up in the offense, and try to capitalize and join the rush whenever I can. He's such an offensive, talented player in this league, and you can just see it. Like he makes one little move and guys seem to go the opposite way and he goes the other way and creates a scoring chance, or, you know, odd man rush, or I don't know, you name it. But yeah, he's an unbelievable player and obviously a captain of our team and great leader. And you can just see how much the boys respect him. And, you know, with the work he puts in every single day, it's kind of unmatched. So I think that's a very good role model to look up to, you know, as for myself and everyone on the team.
Well, Fabs, I have to tell you, he needs a partner too that's able to play their game, and you've been awesome this year. You've given him a lot more space, and obviously Yost is Yost. There's not many guys in the league, if any, like him. But he needs a partner that's got to do his thing to give him the extra space to do it. So I'm going to change the tune a little bit here, go a little off topic. Robbie, you can go back if you want, but I want to know what your pregame meal. I know you guys get the meal at the rink sometimes. Are you a rink guy, or do you go get your own? And then are you coffee? What's your coffee order?
Okay. I've changed it up this year. I used to go to Javon all the time. Yeah. And now I started eating at the rink. I've been having salmon with like sweet potatoes, some rice and salad. It's kind of all I've been eating. And then leading up to the game, I might have a piece of toast with some, like a banana or something like that, with peanut butter. And my coffee order is just a regular cold brew from Starbucks. Nothing, just black, nothing in it. Just kind of,
it's no extra calories, eh? I got a little bit of nitro, a little bit of sweet cream and nitro here. That's awesome. Not
that little corner weight wouldn't help me out.
Yeah.
We're on with Predators defenseman Dante Fabbro here on Smashville Live. We'll continue the conversation when we come back, including getting Dante's take on what it's like to be one of Nashville's most beautiful people. I'm sure he's looking forward to that conversation.
Oh, boy.
Coming up next. We'll do that on the other side. This is Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside former Preds goaltender, Preds TV analyst Chris Mason, and Nashville Predators defenseman Dante Fabbro here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Last segment here with Dante Fabbro. Got Alex Carrier coming up in the next segment as well, so make sure you stay tuned for that. And Dante, before the break, we kind of threw it out there. This is a big day. This is a big day for you. I know that you've been waiting to talk about this for a long time. Named one of Nashville's most beautiful people by the Nashville Lifestyles magazine. You've had a lot of list of accomplishments so far in your career. Where does this one rank? What is it like to be one of Nashville's most beautiful people?
Huge honor. It's a big honor. But no, it's pretty cool. I think I'm not used to doing all those photo shoots and all that stuff. So it was a little awkward trying to pose in front of a camera, but it was a lot of fun, and just being able to kind of meet a couple new people. And yeah, it was fun. The boys gave it to me a little bit, but not as bad as the training staff.
That's awesome. I remember, I know it was never obviously on that list, but we had to do a photo shoot for the calendar, and I had to do it with, you remember Jeremy Stevenson?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And we did it in the Jack Daniels distillery, and we're like up in the top, and it was so hot. There's like no air conditioning. And so the photographer, same thing. It was like so weird. They told us, okay, look out the window and give like a sexy look and everything. And I looked at like Jared Stevenson. I like, honestly, it took me probably about like half an hour to get my composure, because he was trying to like act so sexy looking out the window. But it's like they try to make you get like do all these faces. Yeah.
Well, they're like smile with your eyes. And I'm like, what does that even mean?
I know, right? It's like it's just, oh my god, it's so funny. It's not what we do, but
no.
Yeah. So what went into that? I read the article that, or whatever you said, was actually pretty cool. Pretty good words, like what you find attractive and other people and stuff like that. So they sit down and interview you as well.
No, I think just because with all the COVID stuff, they had sent me a kind of questionnaire thing to fill out prior to my photo shoot. And, so I kind of filled that out, and there's probably about 15 questions I had to answer, and was able to shoot that off to them pretty quick. And it was pretty simple and pretty generic questions. There's a few in there that like you had said, what I find attractive in people and all that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's nothing too crazy.
Do you send any of the stuff back home, or did your parents, I guess they get it online now.
Yeah, you know what? My mom's been all over me to get her copies of that.
all moms are all.
Right. Yeah, she's just been just all over me. But I ended up getting a couple. What's that?
How about Steve-O, your dad?
Oh, he could care less.
He's a great guy, by the way. I can't wait to see him.
No, so I got my mom a few copies. I just don't know when they're coming in. I'm sure she'll be showing the entire world back home.
You gonna sign one for the boys? Each of them is leaving their stall.
Yeah, I will actually. That's actually a good idea.
So Dante, I know we're really early into the season, 7 games in so far, and it's still lots of room left to grow, still lots of work left to do for you guys. But overall, so far through training camp to the first 7 games of the season, what do you make of your group as a whole, and what do you think the next step is for you guys?
Man, I love the makeup of our team. I think I don't know how other teams feel. I feel like we're a really tough team to play against when we're clicking, and it might not be the prettiest hockey, but you know, we're effective out there. We're now, as you can see now, we're starting to score some goals, and you know, Juice has been playing unbelievable. You know, up and down the lineup has been you know, working really hard and contributing in many different ways, whether it's shot blocking to, you know, defending to, you know, scoring some goals. So it's been a lot of fun, and the vibe in our locker room has been awesome, just with the group of guys we have, and you know, how much fun we have around the rink is you know, something that's it's almost like a fresh breath air. And just to have that much fun, you know, obviously playing pro hockey, it can be stressful at times, but trying to keep it light as much as possible. But yeah, the makeup of our team is awesome, just how hard we work and you know, how difficult we can make on other teams.
What was it like, obviously you guys last couple of games, I agree with you, you guys are a tough team to play against when you guys play your game. What was it like that game in Minnesota, you know, after Connor Ingram, you guys all know what he's been through, and then he gets his first NHL game, and he seems like a pretty quiet guy. I don't know him too well, but seems like a pretty humble Sasky boy. What was that like after that game celebrating with him?
It was pretty cool. I think he had mentioned something in the locker room after the game, and just – you know, for us to be there for that moment for him is pretty cool. And, see how excited everyone was for him to get that first win was, I mean, you can't really put those things into words. You know, I don't know what, you know, he had gone through, you know, mentally and physically, and, but you can definitely see it and, you know, how he expresses himself and, you know, how dedicated he was this summer to getting back and, you know, getting back into playing shape, and look how far he's come from, you know, all that stuff. And it's pretty impressive. And, you know, he's an outstanding teammate and even better guy. He's not as quiet as a lot of people think. I did play with him at World Juniors, and he's a pretty big chatty Cathy, but he's an awesome dude and loves to have fun, but he's a little bit quiet right now, but you know, he can do what he can honestly do what he wants and can conduct himself how he wants. So, you know, I have nothing but the utmost respect for him. And I know the rest of our team does too.
Not that I had Johansson on my radio show this morning, and he was obviously really complimentary of you and the way that you played so far. He's obviously a guy you know really well. What has Johansson meant to you guys so far this season? What have you thought of his game through the first 7 games?
He's been great. I think you look at his game, he's been putting up some numbers. He's been, you know, scoring some goals. And, you know, that's another guy who really dedicated himself this summer to, you know, put in the work and making sure he gets a good start to the season. And, you know, he's just an extremely reliable player for us, you know, whether it's in the faceoff dot, power play, you know, penalty kill. So, yeah, the guys love having him on the ice, and he's a big part of our locker room too. He's the kind of guy that sets up everything up and, you know, making sure guys are, you know, accountable, but, you know, making sure they're enjoying themselves, because it is a long season and, you know, can't get stressful at times. But Joey's been awesome, and, you know, his game's coming along right now, and, you know, it's clicking, and you know, the guys are starting to notice, the guys are noticing that, and you know, it's nice to have that when he's playing well.
I was going to ask you in the break there about one of my former teammates, Dan Hynote, and you can call him Eagle Claw. That's what we used to call him back in the day. Feel free to do that. But, you know, I think you guys have a different balance to your coaching staff. Obviously, he's a pretty funny guy. He's, you know, pretty smart guy. I went to West Point, all that kind of stuff. What's he brought to your team? Is it nice to have a guy that's maybe a little more relatable? I know some coaches you feel like you can go up and talk to and just say whatever, and other coaches you don't say much to and you kind of stay away. So what's your relationship or with him with the team?
Yeah, Danny's been awesome. I think he brings a completely different element to the coaching staff. And I mean, all our coaches are great. Like we've had such a good start to our season this year. And even last year, like the way we finished, you know, everyone was just confident in how we needed to play and trusted everyone and trusted our systems. And Danny Hynote he's awesome. He talks mostly, he's up on the forward front, so we don't see him too much in the back end on the bench, but just talking with him around the rink and just kind of picking his brain on a few things or going, yeah, I mean, you go say hi to the guy and you can't stop laughing. So it's just a really lighthearted guy, but takes everything very serious too. Like I know the boys love to have him around, and he's just been a nice different factor in the locker room to, you know, obviously relate to. And obviously he's been through all the stuff we're going through now. And yeah, it's just nice, honestly.
Yeah. Do you guys make fun of his baggy suits? I'm trying to.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know what? He's made a few changes. There's a couple of them that he's tightened up a little bit, but I don't know. He does. He likes those like 1970 look.
Oh my God. Yeah. 1990s. Like he was cool. He's like, he's got,
I mean, you look at he looks like the NBA draft in like 2003.
I was just about to say that with like LeBron and Melo and, and all these guys.
He,
yeah.
He loves it though. Like he loves it.
He embraces it. Like he eats that stuff up.
Got to respect it. You know?
Yeah,
that's right. Well, Dante, we really appreciate you taking time to be with us here tonight. We really appreciate your perspective and for joining the show, and good luck as you guys continue through the season here. And we'll talk to you down the road, man.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Chris.
Thanks, man.
That is Predators defenseman Dante Fabbro here on Smashville Live. Everybody stay tuned. We're going to be joined coming up next by Predators defenseman Alex Carrier as well. What an incredible story for Carrier over the course of the last calendar year and his role that he's now carved out for himself here with the Nashville Predators. We'll get to that coming up next. You're listening to Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, on YouTube, on Twitter, on Facebook Live as well. Robbie Stanley alongside Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, former Preds goaltender, now pleased to be joined by Predators defenseman Alex Carrier. Alex, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, thanks for coming on with us. We appreciate it. We just had your teammate Dante Fabbro on just a few minutes ago, and we were kind of talking during the break. Obviously, great start to the season for Fabbro, playing really well, but has also been named one of Nashville's most beautiful people. I think he came in at number 23 on the list. What do you guys in the locker room make of Fabs being one of the most beautiful people in Nashville?
I mean, I didn't know that, so that's surprising, to be honest. He's a good-looking dude, I'm not going to lie, but he's got probably the biggest head in Nashville as well, if you know. He wears a snapback and stuff like that. His thing in the back is always the biggest.
Oh my God.
But he's a good-looking dude, I'll give him that. But top 23 Nashville, I don't know.
That's unbelievable.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. I was going to ask you, Alex, like you've had quite the journey with your career. Obviously, you know, we're just talking to Fabs. He came out of college, you know, got his opportunity at the end of the season there, played well, and you know, he never had to spend any time in Milwaukee. You, on the other hand, you've been a stalwart down there. I remember talking to Carl Taylor, I talked to Scott Nickel, and everybody's just raving about your game. You know, until last year you played, I think, 5 games or something like that. How hard was it, or maybe it wasn't hard, but for you, when you know that you're at the top of the game, you need an opportunity to play in the National Hockey League, maybe they call some guys up that shouldn't be called up or whatever the case may be. That's how it goes sometimes. But for you to kind of like keep the faith and say, you know what, one day I'm going to get my opportunity. And when I get it, I'm going to make good of it. And you certainly did. And now, you know, you're going to be here for a long, long time. How was the process for you personally?
Honestly, it wasn't that bad. My first 3 seasons, I was a young player. You know, when I played my first NHL game, my first pro year, I was only 20 years old. For a defenseman, that's really young, especially when you're not a first rounder or something like that, right? So for me, the first 3 years was more of a process to get better and get ready for the NHL. But I think when I got to my fourth year pro, I finished really strong on my third year. The last 20 games I was producing, we had a good team. We weren't supposed to make the playoff, a little bit like the Preds last year, like us. We weren't supposed to make the playoff in Milwaukee, but then we had a really strong push. Ended up losing first round, but it prepared us for the next year, which we were first. And then we all know what happened with COVID and stuff like that. But I really believe that my fourth year, I was ready to take that jump. And I was excited to – I got a few games that year as well. I played in Winnipeg and then Edmonton. But I really believe I was ready. And then COVID hit, stuff happens. It was actually good for me because I'm not a big guy. I got to work on my strength and my speed and stuff like that. So it was actually really good. I changed trainer that year, that summer. Got stronger, got faster. And when I got to camp the next year, it wasn't really a big camp, no preseason. But when I got my chance during the season, I felt very comfortable. I was ready for my chance, and I took it.
Well, you talk about being ready for your chance, and you certainly were. I mean, you came in right away and made such a big impact with this group to the point where, I mean, when the playoffs came around, you're playing top minutes for this team. What was that journey like from you last year to go from a guy trying to break through and get in the NHL to becoming a regular for this team now to the role you have now with this group?
It was awesome. Honestly, when I started that year, if you told me I would have played, I know there was overtime, but that would have played 35 minutes, one game in the playoffs against Carolina, I'd be like, not a chance, you know? So that was awesome. But I think it was mostly my mindset that was different. When I got into the first couple of games, I was less nervous than the previous years when I got called up and stuff like that. Just my mindset of winning every battle, making a difference on the ice. Sometimes when you get called up and you play 10 to 15 minutes, you don't want to make mistakes and stuff like that. For me, I got lucky because coaches put me in for over 15, so close to 20 my first couple of games. So that gave me confidence. But for me, it was to make a difference on the ice and just keep playing my game that I was playing in Milwaukee. So that was my mindset. I think that changed most of the things, you know. Instead of coming in, not making a mistake, I wanted to come in and make an impact on the team and play my game.
So when you went in, like last season, I mean, you played so unbelievable. I mean, there were games when you had more minutes than Josi and Ekholm, and these guys are absolute beasts. Was there a point maybe in the off season where you're like, holy crap, like I actually, you know, I made it. I mean, they had the expansion draft. That must have been nerve-wracking. I don't know when they told you when you're protected or whatever the case was, but you know, I'm sure when you go in the off season, I don't know how the communication is now, but it wasn't great back in the day. You don't know anything till the last minute. Maybe your agent knows and you're thinking, oh, am I going to get protected? Am I going to get this? And all of a sudden you're on the protected list. That must have felt pretty good.
Yeah, I think things didn't change much because I only got the news by my agent like 5 minutes before the list came out. So. Yeah. So I didn't know. I was at my girlfriend's parents' house. We were having a brunch, I think. And I was really nervous because I don't want to leave, right? I didn't want to get picked up by another team because like things are going well here. I don't want to mess things up and stuff like that. So when I got the text by my agent that told me I was protected, that was a relief for sure. And it was a little boost of confidence as well. But when you're already like a step in and you get that boost of confidence, you know, you got to put even more work to be ready to for the next season. So it was nice, but it didn't last long because I knew I had to put even more work, you know.
Yeah. Preds defenseman Alex Carrier on with us here on Smashville Live, ESPN 102.5 The Game. So Alex, I've talked with you before and you brought up, you know, on the ice, Milwaukee and how that prepared you for the NHL. What about off the ice? I mean, everybody I've ever really talked to that spent some time in Milwaukee, they loved it. They loved the organization, loved the people. Just what was that experience like for you away from the ice? Growing up, you know, essentially becoming an adult in Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy when you think about it. You're 19, 20 years old. You go to Milwaukee. You speak a little bit in English, but it's not the greatest. And then you got to find your own apartment. Yeah. You got to cook your own food, your cell phone, the bills, everything. You're like, damn, this is a lot of – that's a big change, right? So it took me off the ice. The thing that I got more mature with was my food. My first two seasons, I was always eating clean during the summer and getting ready. So I would come in lean, but I was always getting a bit more fat during the season, if I can say that. And I think I learned from that with the nutritionist in Nashville. I got a nutritionist back home as well. Just being more mature with my food, knowing what to eat after a game, how much I should eat, stuff like that. You know, I still have that fast food kind of food, you know, but it's, I'm way smarter with food and stuff like that. So that was a big step that I took last few years to be ready every game, even though we have a base schedule. So I think off the ice, it was awesome in Milwaukee, but what I learned most was take care of my body with food, just rolling out and stuff like that. So sleeping as well. So yeah, it was a nice process.
That's awesome. I remember, yeah, back in the day, Milwaukee, same thing, young kid. Big Saturday night win, go with the boys. All of a sudden, it's Qdoba, a couple burritos, some Dr. Pepper on Sunday, oh, yeah. And just the comfort food. But that's awesome. Milwaukee's a great city. I spent 4 years there. It was an awesome city. I was going to ask you, too, like, you know, you've seen a lot of milestones here in the last couple of years with the team. Obviously, Tanner Janot, guys getting their first games, first wins, first goals. Your goal, tell me about your first goal. I mean, that's, you know, for a goalie, it's their first win or first game. For a player, you played thousands of hockey games in your life. You maybe remember a handful. But one moment, I know every guy says they'll never, ever forget their first goal, and yours is pretty sick.
Yeah, it was cool because we were losing by 3 goals that game. So I went to get going the boys a little bit, like make a play or something like that. So I saw the opportunity, Yak skating up the ice. So I saw an opportunity to jump in the play, and I did. And I screamed like, yeah, yeah. And he made me a great pass. And then I ended up scoring on Vasilevsky, which is even more crazy.
Exactly.
But something that stood out the most was Yak and I, we played together in Gatineau in the queue. So I was like, what are the odds that my first NHL goal is an assist by like a former teammate in the queue, you know? So yeah. I thought that was pretty cool, but for sure it's a goal I will never forget.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That is awesome. We're on with Predators defenseman Alex Carrier. We'll continue the conversation on the other side of the break. Get his thoughts on the team so far this season and what it's like to play with Mattias Ekholm. All that coming up next. You're listening to Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Smashville Live. Robbie Stanley alongside Chris Mason and Predators defenseman Alex Carrier here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Alex, what's it been like playing with Mattias Ekholm? Obviously, a guy the Predators just locked down, signed to a contract extension, a guy that I think really around the league for a long time has probably been a little bit underrated. What's it been like playing with him and just everything he brings to the table?
I think he makes it so easy for me. He talks a lot. He's a great guy. He's a great leader. Everything he does, maybe the fans don't see it sometimes or the statistic don't see it, but he's got great gaps. He's got great stick. He's a big guy. He can skate. He can play offensively as well. So I think, like you said, he was underrated the last few years, but now I think he's becoming more comfortable and people are starting to see more of his play. Maybe like the market is getting bigger as well, but we hear more of him. So I think that's great for him because he's unreal. I think defensively, he's one of the best in the league, and he can still jump into play and make some plays offensively, which is incredible. So it's been really easy to play with him, honestly, yeah.
So you've obviously played with Josi too, so you're talking about a couple of good guys. Is it when you play with a guy that's got a different skill set, do you change your game at all? I mean, you played well with Josi, and I know they're just trying to figure out the right, you know, pairings up in the top four. Do you just play the same way, and is it any different for you playing with either guy?
No, I think it's I play the same game. The only difference is with Eki, we play more of a role together of more defensively, so like PK together, usually like against the top lines and shutting them down. So with Jost, it's more offensive face-off that you take, so you get more offensive time instead of with Ecky, it's more defensively, like more face off in your own zone and stuff like that. So it's a bit different, yeah, for sure. But I think your game's gotta stay the same. You're true to yourself, right? You know, so if you play your game, then things will come.
Alex, have you been able to like get out a little bit more this year and get to know the city of Nashville? Obviously, when you're coming in last year and you're a regular player with COVID and all the protocols in place last year, you couldn't really do anything last year. Like, what's it been like, you know, getting to know this city more and more over the last few months?
It's been fun. I've been to my first Titans game at their opening game. So they lost that game, but we had a good time. But other than that, I'm not like, I don't do much, to be honest. Like, so many games, like we said before, 5 games in 8 days the last week. So I'm pretty relaxed guy, chill guy, but it's Nashville's great city. I mean, we're going tonight at the Optimus, the restaurant there.
Oh yeah.
So we'll see how that goes, but there's a bunch of good places to eat. So I'm enjoying the food and people are nice as well. So can't complain.
That's awesome. So obviously you guys do a lot of traveling, a lot of bus time in Milwaukee. Are you a card player? You play cards? Or are you like watching Netflix and shows, or do you play video games? What's your flavor?
Yeah, more laid back. I got my on the plane. My partner is Jakob Trinan.
Oh, so, yeah.
So he's laid back too. You know, we watch our shows. We talk a bit, but it's more relaxed. Yeah, I played a bit of card in Milwaukee. But I don't have the budget to go in the card games yet. So I'll maybe one day though.
Yeah, for sure. I guarantee that. what's the show? What's your couple of your shows you got going, or what's one of your favorites?
That's tough because I've watched so many over the years that it's hard. Like, one of my favorite was Game of Thrones. If you guys watched that,
oh yeah.
Or The Office was my go-to, like, even when I'm cooking or eating, I'm watching The Office all the time. I love that show. But that's right cool. Now, I'm like, I'm in between. I'm looking for the right show. I'm watching The Circle. I don't know if you guys know that, but it's not the greatest show. So you don't know The Circle, so it's not great, you know. I'm in between, so any suggestions, I'll take them.
All right. I've seen almost everything, too. I mean, last year, I think everybody, you know, caught up in all their show watching, but Ted Lasso, everyone talks about that one. I don't know if you've seen that one. It's pretty awesome.
I've heard of that, actually, and I looked it up. It's not on Netflix, right? What is it on?
Like Apple TV? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I got to figure that out. Yeah, Ted Lasso. I got to watch that one for sure.
Did you see Tiger King last year?
Oh, yeah.
I'm so mad at myself for watching that show. If it wasn't that, I would have never even considered watching an episode. But everyone's like, oh, you got to watch this show. It's like the best. Like, so I watch it. I'm like, that was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. It was like the waste of time. I had nothing else to do. So,
yeah, that was something else for sure.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's. I think that qualifies as something you'll never get back. So, Alex, as we start to wrap up here, obviously we're very early in, only 7 games into the season so far. What have you thought of your group through training camp, through the early part of the season? Where do you think you guys are, and what's kind of the next step that y'all need to take as the season continues on here?
I think we, obviously being 3-4, we don't have the record that we wish we had. But I think game after game, we're getting better. Obviously, that's some things that we got to tighten up, like our entry denial and stuff like that, gaps. We still got to get better when we get in our D zone. There's some details that needs to be fixed a little bit, but we're working on that. I think our game though is in the right direction. We got a group that works hard, so that's not an issue. You know, it's more about details and just getting everyone the same page for 60 minutes. So that takes a bit of time sometimes, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. So we're working on that, but I'm very confident in the group we have, the leadership we have. We have the goalies, obviously. So I'm excited. It's going to be a fun season. It's only 7 games in, but it's fun to play with the guys. And I hope it's fun to watch as well.
It is, actually. I love your team. I love the way you guys play the game. I remember back in the day, like, you know, we always call the way you guys play like vintage Predators. We didn't have as much talent as you guys on some years, but do you guys pay any attention? Like, I remember this, everybody would always count us out. They'd say, all right, you're second last in the division. This year, most people picked you guys seventh. I know do you guys ever use that as motivation? I know you know it's there, but like you guys seem to have a certain belief and confidence in your team. I look back to the beginning of the season. They didn't quite, you weren't there the whole time in the lot. You were there, but you weren't, you know, in the lineup all the time, but you didn't quite know what you were. You wanted to be hard to play against. You want to be good defensively. Now you guys know what you are. Like you're talking about little details, little things that you have to clean up. That's about it. Do you use that motivation, what other people say about you? Or do you guys just, you know what, we got a good team. I don't care what anyone says. We're just going to go out and, you know, play our game.
Wow, that's a good question. I think as a team, we don't really talk about that, I think. But when I see stuff like that, I for sure get a chip on my shoulder. I'm like, ah, really? You guys think we're that low in the rankings, you know? So it's personally, it's a motivation for me just to prove people wrongs in a way. But like you said, we have a group that we believe we're what we're capable of. We showed it last year during the last run to make the playoff, and then in the playoffs against Carolina. Our identity is our forecheck, our intensity, we're relentless and stuff like that. So we're there. We just got to pull it for 60 minutes every night. And that's a hard thing to do, though, when you got a younger group of guys as well to play that consistently. That's harder. But I think we're in the right direction, and we have, like I said, a great group of guys, and leadership coaches are awesome as well. So I'm excited for sure.
Alex, last thing for you here as we wrap up here on Smashville Live. You've talked about the journey to get to this point and how you've established yourself now as a full-time NHL player in this lineup. What's the next step for Alex Carrier as you try to continue to build your game this season?
I think being consistent every game, you know, playing my game and being able to do it every night against the best guys on the ice on the other team, you know. So just to play with confidence every game, get being good defensively, but also making plays, getting the puck out of the zone, making good breakout pass, and being able to do that every game. That's my goal.
Predators defenseman Alexander Carrier has been our guest here on Smashville Live. Alex, we really appreciate you taking time to join us tonight. We know you get a few days off here. That doesn't happen very often in the NHL season. So really appreciate your time, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. That was fun.
Absolutely. Going to be fun to watch Alex and the Predators as they host the New York Islanders coming up on Saturday. Chris Mason, before we get out of here, things you're looking for on Saturday from the Predators as they host an old friend, Barry Trotz and company, coming to town.
Well, I think just the same as Alex just said. I think you look at the last game. I thought they were awesome through two periods. Same against Minnesota. And then, you know, obviously when you have a lead and you have to protect the lead, the other team is going to put more pressure on you. But to get that, whatever, that 60-minute effort from the team, I think is the next step for them to take. I think every game they played, even the Winnipeg game where they weren't great defensively, they had a chance to win. So for me, it's putting it together for 60 and really being in control of the game if they get the lead to kind of hang on to that instead of, you know, holding on for dear life at the end, which I felt, you know, last game was kind of like that. But again, they found a way to get on top of the one side, the one goal game. And that's a big thing, but just to see that for 60.
Chris Mason, that beard is looking beautiful as ever, my friend. It's great stuff.
Thanks. Yours too, buddy.
We appreciate it. That's right. That does it for us today here on Smashville Live. For Robbie Stanley and Chris Mason, Dante Fabbro and Alex Carrier, really appreciate you joining us tonight. Game 2 of the World Series coming up next between the Atlanta Braves and the Houston Astros. Hope everybody enjoys that. This has been Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.